Welcome back to America's leading higher education podcast, The EdUp Experience, where we make education your business. Hosts Dr. Joe Salustio, Elizabeth Leiba, and producer Elvin Freites bring you the brightest and most influential minds in higher education today. We explore innovations, ideas, and issues in higher education and beyond, and hopefully have a little fun along the way. Now let's get to it.
We all know continuing education and workforce development divisions, you know, the units that offer non-degree programming, need to play a central role in supporting institutional responsiveness and growth. But more often than not, leaders only focus on the outcomes that these divisions drive and rarely think about the infrastructure they need to drive those outcomes. The team at Destiny Solutions, in collaboration with The Evolution, developed a white paper to help explain the role IT systems can play in supporting growth. To download, visit evolutionwith3ls.com/system and get the inside track on the importance of tailor-made tech. Again, that's evolutionwith3ls.com/system.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the EdUp Experience, where we make education your business, interviewing the brightest and most influential minds in higher education and beyond. Yes, if you hear a noise in the background, that is currently the gardener with a leaf blower, Liz. There's absolutely nothing I can do about it. It is that time of day. This is Dr. Joe Salustio. All of that was done out of order. Liz, how are you?
I'm doing great. And at least it's not garage door opening, because that's like my second favorite thing. The second favorite is garage door open. Bing.
Right. Ding, ding, garage door open. Yes, I know. My favorite sounds from your, not when you're recording in the bathroom, of course, but we don't need to go into that.
Oh my gosh. It's an upgrade for me recording in the laundry room.
For the record, that just came out of nowhere. I didn't plan that. I mean, but one time Liz came on camera and there was just all white porcelain around her. And I said, Liz, what's happening? Are you in the bathroom recording? You said it was a laundry room. I'm not sure.
Quote unquote, the laundry room. Exactly.
I'm not sure if I believe you. It was a lot of porcelain in there.
It was a lot of white porcelain. So yep, we'll let it leave that.
I don't know where. We don't need to go into detail on the actual what's happening during the recordings here, guys.
I can't.
But what we do know is one thing is for sure is that we have an amazing guest for you today.
Absolutely.
His name is Alfred Zaccanino. A good Italian name, and he is president and CEO of the Sumerian Group. Alfred, how you doing?
I'm good. I just hearing you guys speak about this, I just left the bathroom to make sure I'm not recording in the bathroom. Now I'm at a proper table.
Well, it's you know what? Depending on the echo, we either believe you or don't believe you based on how the echo is.
To be determined, right?
Yeah, but we're not on video, so you know what? You could be anywhere. We never know, and that's the beauty of Zoom recordings is you just never know what you're going to get. One thing I do want you to do is tell us what we are going to get from you, Alfred. I want you to talk to us about the Sumerian Group, the work that you're doing, the impact that you're having. Our listeners may not be familiar with your work, so what does the Sumerian Group do, and go from there?
Well, first, you know, thanks so much for having me on, guys. You know, Joe and Liz, what you guys are doing is great. Your EdUp Experience podcast is exceptional. I've listened to some in the past, so keep up the good fight. And with that said, you know, what I like to say, what I do today is a direct result of my upbringing, growing up on the streets of Bensonhurst, Brooklyn, growing up in poverty on welfare. I recognize that at a younger age, it's important to, you know, not only learn in a classroom or learn from others that are in our immediate circles, but also learn from others who are not in our immediate circles. Being able to recognize who you might be able to learn from as a youngster is something that I caught on to at an early age. I only graduated high school, but then I went on to I played baseball a little bit. Then at the age of 20, went ahead and went to Oklahoma City and ended up training to become an air traffic controller. And there is when I really realized, I was like, wow, you know, 20 years old in Oklahoma City, and I'm with people out of the military, people out of college with all this experience. and just put my thinking cap on and said, wow, I have to stay close to these people, and was really just able to learn at a younger age without going to college. Fast forwarding to that, in my early 30s is when I retired from being an air traffic controller. And now for the last 20 years, I've been in private equity and consulting. Even whether it's today, yesterday, 10 years ago, or 20 years ago, I still just continue to surround myself with people who make me a better person, and more educated, and just good energies around me. The power of that is incredible. So to hear from me today, going through what my path was from childhood to where it is today, throughout the journey, I consider myself an empath, and others around me have said I'm an empath, and meaning I'm empathetic to those things around me. I'm a very emotional guy, and I wear my heart on my sleeve in everything that I do. And because of that, I've always been involved with philanthropy and working with esteemed organizations, domestic and internationally, to give back. And I'm one of those in business today, even here in New York City, where we'll get involved with a business opportunity, giving as we go, not making it, then giving it at a later date because it's of a tax benefit to a business or a person. So hopefully that's good enough to lay out an understanding in a couple of minutes since childhood up until today.
Yeah, that's incredible. And I do want to just take a moment for a self plug here, which I think we could do, Liz, because it's our podcast, but we're able to start a partnership, a scholarship. See, that's why podcast editing is so important here, Liz, at the EdUp Experience. Now, we started a scholarship, Alfred, in partnership with Spelman College. When you say that we create business and give along the way, we tried to do that too. We scrounged together a couple of our pennies, which is not much, and made a donation to Spelman College. One of our supporters donated a more significant amount, and we were able to make a $25,000 donation to help Black women attend college, which was a big deal. So I really appreciate and respect those like yourself that are giving along the way, because it does take focus to do that, does it not? You have to be intentional, because I think it's really easy to make money and never feel like it's enough to give back. So you have to really focus on giving back because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah. And, really, really good point. I do this with a chip on my shoulder, Joe, because I don't like those who are greedy. I don't like those who make a ton of money and don't spend it. And the only time they spend it is of their personal benefit. I can say a handful of names of huge philanthropy individuals that we've all heard of in this country that may, hey, I'm giving away $1 billion a year for the next 5 years. And wow, that's great. But that's to their own tax benefit.
Exactly. Yeah, there's a big difference.
So
yeah.
So I'm trying to lead by example. Okay. It's no problem giving as you make. Don't wait until you make to where it becomes a personal tax benefit because you're worth $50 billion today and you can, and most of the time, or some of the times, you're donating to your own charities, which are of further benefit down the line. So leading by example, that's the macro side. That's the massive names, or you could, one of the things I did in conjunction with the New York Yankee organization in the last 6 months during the pandemic was went to a school in the Bronx there where surrounded by projects. And literally during my time inside the school with the principal and the kids, there were gunshots outside, right? And we were giving away some supplies and spreading a good word there. So that those kids at a young age can be educated to say, hey, look what this guy is doing. You all remember, Liz and Joe, you remember as kids, I'm sure there's people have been in your life or you're already making good changes to people's lives with the EdUp Experience podcast and what you guys are doing. But beyond that, along your path, you know the people whose lives you're changing, right? And it doesn't have to always be with a give. It could be with a message, a point in the right direction. What you're doing with the scholarship program, that not only changes that person's view who will win that scholarship, but you are leading by example, and maybe other programs and other donations will come in.
Well, that's the hope. I want to switch very quickly to talk about emerging technology. Sumerian Group does consulting on emerging tech. And, you know, if you've been following anything within higher education over the last 15 months or so, we've seen massive disruptions. And when I say disruptions, what most people would think the college experience is, it's changed, right? Because of online education being adopted more widely, hybrid models, students being sent home from campuses. Now the repopulation is beginning as people become vaccinated and so on. But an industry disrupted is an industry disrupted. It's given way for emerging technology to be really considered as solutions of the future. What emerging technology specifically do you consult on? And is it any of it applicable in a learning environment?
Look, good question. And when it comes to emerging technologies, I'll give you an example, a deal that we're looking at now that, you know, we've issued the term sheet, but we haven't come into yet, but I'll bring it up now. It has to do with, answers to questions online in the medical space. Whereas most of the time, you say you have something wrong with you, or you have a headache and you're taking a look at what's wrong with me, especially now where health is the new wealth, right? You need to be educated on the side of health. And, you know, believe it or not, when you go and look at these different platforms that are out there and these blogs that are out there, these are unqualified people saying, well, this is my home remedy. This is how you can get better using this potion that I root up in my kitchen, you know? So we have, an interest in this algorithm, they have IP, which is intellectual property, and other things that others aren't using that are in a similar space, where you can get a qualified medical answer to a medical question, where it's an actual doctor, and that information being provided is verified. Most of the information you get today on the internet, a lot of it, I should say, has to do with blogs and is of one's opinion. It's not of a certified response or a certified understanding of, and you're not getting the answer that might be best for you medically. So that's one particular dealing, right? So we'll get behind deals that are looking around the corner, like where you're thinking ahead, where will we be a year from now when we're officially out of the pandemic, right?
How about VR? Is that taking off? Because it's being inserted more in colleges and universities as a result. But I don't think it's even scratched the surface of what could be.
The horizon on VR, Joe, is way down the line. I did consult for a company in Sweden that is, VR, but more on the side of, video game, virtual reality. But if you take a look at the difference between virtual reality and augmented reality, which is VR and AR, any of your listeners, or if you guys come across the new Cadillac Escalade that just came out, the whole dashboard in the car is augmented reality, AR. And it's something to see. Check it out if any of your friends have this new car that came out. And I'm not a Cadillac Escalade guy, but it was so cool. And the technology behind it is pretty amazing. Where it was like being in a spaceship where you can see the entire surroundings in the car just by looking at your dashboard. It's like being in the future.
I'm going to go out and get one of those right now. You, Liz, I'm going to pop, or maybe I could just take a ride in your Escalade.
I wish I had an Escalade.
No doubt. So look, technology, emerging technologies, there are so many tentacles to this. It's like a tree, you know, picture an enormous tree with branches and then all the leaves. There's so many different variations and ways to look at emerging technologies and so on and so forth. You know, one of my meetings, you know, early next week is with a guy who is well-suited to answer such a question. He's one of the co-founders or one of the larger investors in SpaceX, right?
It's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, brilliant mind. Wow. He's head down 16 to 18 hours a day, impeccable work ethics, and looking forward to just talking to him about, you know, space and the technology that went into that, talking about emerging. You know, this is planetary. You're talking about traveling to other planets, and this is one of the guys behind it. So there's just so many different ways of looking at technology emerging and so on and so forth. But hopefully that was enough color to give you an indication where my head is on the space.
I have so many questions because this is so fascinating. I'd love for you to weigh in on, because you talked a little bit about everything and how things are pivoting and changing and how we're looking at the world, I think, has changed a lot over the past year. What about our, I guess, I don't want to, the word is, I guess we're being a little bit more introspective about where we fit in the world as, you know, United States. What about our ability to think more globally? Like, how are you really navigating all of that as far as the consulting that you're doing with your company? And what do you think about our impact on the world? I think when COVID first happened, I think Joe talked about it, right? There's this idea of, wow, we're not consuming as much. We're not using as much gas. We're not impacting the environment as much. What are your thoughts about that, about sustainability, about globally, how we're also interconnected? And maybe this past year has made us think a lot and kind of reflect on our impact on the world.
Great question, Liz. Being globally connected, look, I've been traveling during the pandemic for the last 12 months on a business venture that I dove in head first, led by philanthropy, last April. And it's it has to do with wellness products, health and wellness products. And through that, I've been back and forth between here in California, meeting certain people, and realizing the importance of connecting in person versus connecting on Zoom calls. Zoom calls, it's great, it's convenient, but there's nothing like connecting in person. And to give you an example, the guy who I just told you about, SpaceX, right? You know, to meet in person versus him on Zoom, I got 10 to 1 more by meeting him in person, because I was able to look at him, feel his energy, watch his facial expressions, experience his passion for what he's doing. You can't get that on Zoom. So the world over the last 12 months is like, hey, look how easy it is to work from home. But it becomes very electronic, or whatever the word might be, where very digital. Digital is not the way to communicate, in my opinion. And worldwide, there's this false feeling that, hey, now everybody can work from home and do these, you know, Zoom calls and phone calls. There's nothing like meeting in person. So I'm really curious of what's going to happen. I've been to London 2 times in the last 12 months. Same thing, you know, lockdown over there. We all know what's going on in other areas of the world where COVID is hitting India really hard right now. My response to that, Liz, is I think there's a false feeling that there's this change because of COVID where people could get a lot done or more done by working remotely, by working through these Zoom calls, whereas you're going to you'll lose a lot of character and all the things that make us who we are today as a better person. You can't get it through a Zoom call and communicating about business dealings and even education. When it comes to classrooms, the same thing. If I'm looking at a professor or a teacher that's passionate about a subject, I'm not feeling that over a Zoom call. I want to feel the energy because that's what's going to motivate me, not some, you know, audio transmission, you know, transmission that comes through, you know, these other methods that have become more dominant in the last 12 months.
The higher education marketplace is changing fast, and it can be challenging to stay up to date while ignoring the noise. The Evolution is the only source of opinions and insights directly from college and university leaders on the bleeding edge of transformation. We have three L's in our name, and they stand for lifelong learning, which is central to our vision for higher education's future. The Evolution is completely free to access, and new articles and interviews are published daily. To subscribe to our weekly newsletter, visit evolutionwith3ls.com/subscribe. Again, that's evolutionwith3ls.com/subscribe.
Can you talk a little bit, before I pass it back to Joe, about your work with the Global Sustainability Network? Because I'm so fascinated as well by this idea of how we can begin to address and in a more consistent manner, and then also in a more collaborative manner, how our global footprint is affecting not only us today, but also the next generation. So what is the work that you're doing with that, and how is that going?
Yeah, and thanks for bringing them up. You know, GSN, Global Sustainability Network, is a great, it started with around 300 people from around the world, whether it's a leader, politician, philanthropist, investor, entrepreneur, about joining forces, combining networks on the side of charities, human trafficking, awareness to, you know, the issues that are going on globally. And the parties involved with GSN are, you know, the Rockefeller family, you know, some of the biggest names we've all heard of, right? And so to be a part of the Global Sustainability Network, as being able to give input that's more of a street sense guy versus some of the more higher education parties versus some of the bigger political names you heard of and others, it's a mix. It's a super diverse mix of talent and relationships, you know, globally, that meet every 3 to 4 months. Prior to the pandemic, here in New York at the United Nations General Assembly, usually it's every year here. But then there's a meeting that takes place in Dubai, a meeting that takes place in London, all for one purpose. And it's awareness, you know, to the issues around the world and you know, lending a hand and fighting the good fight to those in need.
I said, I lied. I said I was going to pass it back to Joe, but I have one more question for you.
Sure.
You have so much knowledge, experience, a wealth of information on consulting in business capacity and looking at strategically ways that things can be done better when we think about organizations, both from that social entrepreneurship as well as just from that that leadership perspective. What advice would you give, you know, just as someone that's observing higher education and looking at the sector, and we're going through a lot that you talked about as far as pivot to online and thinking about how we can remain relevant, thinking about cost, thinking about return on investment. What are some, maybe some salient pieces of wisdom that you've gathered over your career in business that you think could apply to higher education leaders in terms of how they can navigate these unforeseen waters that we're all dealing with over the past year or so?
I understand what you're saying, Liz. And it, look, one of the thing that pops into my mind is one of the things I said earlier is, you know, some of the more educated people in the world might also be know-it-alls, right? As in know-it-all. And you get into almost an argument from time to time when you speak to someone or you're in a conversation with two parties that think they have the answer and that they don't. And I think more comes out of listening than speaking, right? So it's just like more comes out of no sometimes than saying yes. What I mean by that is, I was first on the second thing, no, then yes. And the power of a no is I was in California, and I was invited to go to the Super Bowl, and I was invited on somebody's private jet to go to the Super Bowl with the ticket in included, just as a guest. And I said no. And the reason why is there were other people who were, you know, near and dear to me that I need to stay local to California, and that I already admittedly said I was going to spend that weekend with, or that Super Bowl Sunday with, right? To the first part, having parties in the room who are highly educated, being able to listen to those parties speak. One of the things I'm noticing is if you have all of this knowledge, and if you have diversity with the knowledge, more comes out of that meeting. If you have two people in the same field talking about the same subject, ego gets involved and it could become argumentative, right? So my advice is, even if you're a highly educated person in one field, surround yourself with others who are highly educated in other fields, not like fields, because you get so much more out of that. Another example.
I'd like to state that time, Elizabeth, that you had the Super Bowl ticket offered, or I had the Super Bowl ticket offered to me, and I was supposed to hang out with you. I did bolt for the Super Bowl. So, Alfred, you're a better man than I. Liz, we'll have to catch up.
You know what it is, man? I also didn't want to fly across the country.
I get that. Yeah. So, no, I'm just giving Liz a hard time.
But look, that's a good point. And I heard the game wasn't the best games to watch.
Exactly.
Anyway, right? But to the point of, so there's a time here in the city, right? This is the importance of diversity in education, having people who have great knowledge in different areas of business. I had, and this is out of fortune. Again, there's amazing offers happen, guys, and these things, it's so surreal to me. Even if I have a nice dinner here in the city, I'm like, I can't believe I'm here. Because at 8 years old,
it's because you're humble.
I was on a cheese line, man. I was on a cheese line with my mother getting a 5-pound block of government cheese because I needed to eat for the next 5 days, right? So appreciating what you have, like, that's where I wear the chip on the shoulder. Like, don't take anything for granted. Appreciate everything that you have, even though you work for it. We all work for it, but just appreciate it. Don't never take it for granted. And so, you know, in this city here, especially New York City, you know, finance, man, there's a lot of egos, and there's a lot of greed in the space. And I just think it's important to lead by example. My biggest message here is to lead by example, and people should give more. Become more educated in the give, not the benefit of a give that might be monetary or a tax benefit, because you get more out of giving sometimes than making money. And so the other example I wanted to use, again, before I bring up, you know, being in a New York Yankees suite, which I was offered and it happened, I had 15 people in the suite that were all in the finance industry or the real estate industry. And this is a long time ago. Guys, it was the most boring 2.5 hours that I had in a Yankee game or in a
suite. I'm sure it was.
All everybody was doing was talking to each other about, what do you got? Oh, I got this. Guess what? Oh, no, I got this and I got this. How about tell me what you don't have? Because let me learn from your mistakes, right? So taking that as an example, I had the suite again 2 months later, had 3 people from real estate, 3 people from the entertainment industry, 3 people from philanthropy, 3 people, just completely diverse, including 2 owners of sports franchises in the States here. And nobody left. there was such a dynamic because everybody was talking about something that they don't know already, right? And from that experience, I've been leading with that in almost everything that I do, having a diverse group of people from a variety of different fields in my surroundings. And guys, this is how I've been able to get consulting gig. You know, today I'm a consultant for the FIFA World Cup 2022.
Which I was going to ask you about that, because that is the most amazing consulting job I think I've ever heard of in my life.
Let me tell you, it's surreal, man. It's surreal. It's so crazy to be a guy aligned with something like this. Again, as compared to upbringing and childhood and some of the other names and faces. And it's the reason why is they've been able to recognize that I have very diverse surroundings and ask me how or why I got the gig. I have no idea, but it just happened about 4 years ago.
It's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Well, those are really important lessons. And you know, I want to ask you one more question and then we'll get finished up. But I want to know, I mean, you're consulting with different businesses, investing in different businesses. You know, one of the things that's been really interesting, and your take is particularly valid here, is the value of a college degree. And this is amongst the higher education community. And then there are a lot of competing, disruptors, right? There's so what's happened is the cost of education has skyrocketed. The tuitions have risen way past the percentage increase in inflation. The debt, $1 trillion debt we have, student loan debt, leaving people really debilitated in loan debt because they go and take out hundreds of thousands of dollars of loans to get a degree that's not producing an ROI. So then, you know, what happens is we get these, I call them normal customer service terms, but you know, amongst traditional higher education, you call them these financial terms that didn't typically exist in higher ed, like return on investment, you know, like a debt to income ratio, for example. And the consumer, the student, is getting a lot smarter about how they choose education to avoid debt and leave themselves with skills. But employers are still, you know, favoring some students, employees that have degrees and so on. So there's a battle that's, I don't want to say it's a battle, but it's a change in tone about the value of a college degree. Do you see, or do you feel, if it's personal or professional here, that a college degree still has value? Are different ways of obtaining higher education, aside from a degree, like certificate programs and apprenticeships, as much of a value in the companies that you're consulting with and investing in and so on?
Yeah, you know, and it's a good question, Joe, but where I am with this is, it's biased, right? Because I don't have a college education.
Right.
But I did go to Oklahoma City at the age of 20 and graduated with honors, which is how I became an air traffic controller and got to choose where I wanted to go in the country. So you put your mind to it. I didn't need any education to become an air traffic controller to talk to 20, 30 airplanes at a time every day.
Which is an insane job, by the way.
I look back at the FAA and I'm like, I can't believe it. I was 21 years old talking to all these airplanes. What? You know, and look at a 21-year-old today who's typically, you know, a junior in college. And so I think, in my opinion, and I've been around the most highly educated, that, yeah, you need it, but it's not a requirement. You get the most out of what I call OJT, on the job training. And then you get even more by surrounding yourself with people who you can learn from in real time environments, in real time, you know, situations, whether in a deal or in anything else. You know, when you train to become an air traffic controller, you go on position talking to airplanes. And you have a trainer right behind you saying, hey, you know, and where he's going to come over the top and correct me if I issue a wrong command to an aircraft. But I'm, look, partial biased because it's no education, but I've been around brilliant minds, but you also need application skills. And where you get you could learn every book in the world. Apply those you need application skills and being able to apply what you learned in that book or learned in that classroom into the real world. And the only way you improve on that or figure out if you are a player who can do that is by getting out there. And the sooner you get out there, the better you are.
We try to, I think in the higher ed circles, it's grit. So we're trying to figure out how to identify grit in people, right? The ones that are going to be most successful if they're in college or after they move on from college, who's going to really dig it out? Who's going to really dig in and do the hard work? And that's harder to come by now. You know, we're dealing with different generations that have different experiences. So, you know, something like coronavirus, you feel like almost matures some people in different ways to where grit becomes something that's more accessible or needs to be more accessible because of the challenges that it created. But I think that's what you're talking about. So you need to be able to have the opportunity to apply the skills that you learn, but you have to have the grit to, you know, I mean, there's something set elbow grease and you know, bootstrapped, so to speak.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well, Alfred, let me ask you what our kind of final questions. I, you know, this is more of a curiosity. So basically two questions. Number one here is, do you ever come across, and if the answer is no, that's fine, because I'm going to guess that it might be, higher education, educational companies, educational innovations that are worth investing in these days? And two, the floor is yours. Plug anything that you're doing, how we get a hold of you, anything about Samaritan that we need to know.
Education platforms. Yeah, the answer is probably no. But I know people where the answer would be yes, with a long list of, just a really long answer to that question. So yeah, unfortunately, my answer to that is no. I really can't speak, to that end of things. What are we doing now? And look, when it comes to the plug, we win by committee. Nobody wins alone. We win by surrounding ourselves with people who make us a better person, and vice versa. By surrounding ourselves with people who are better than us, we're only going to get better. For those who may have identity issues during the pandemic, coming out of the pandemic, if you want to know who you are, you're a direct result of the five people closest to you. So look at the five people closest to you, and that is probably almost a direct reflection of who you are and how you're perceived. So all of this coming together, and my name again is Alfred Zaccanino. I'm happy to be a part of any philanthropic mission that makes sense, where the people are doing the right thing on the founding side of that charity or mission. My Instagram is alfred.zac, A-L-F-R-E-D dot Z-A-C. Samarian Group is SamarianGroup.com. And we could be reached through the website. And a really cool venture we're on now is where health is the new wealth. Shopwealth.com. That's shopwellth.com. Shopwealth.com, where health is the new wealth. And then some of the products on there for when somebody buys something on shopwealth.com, especially the sanitizing product we have, which is called H21, we're giving one away to a charity. And so we just gave away 36,000 bottles to Venezuela, 36,000 to Colombia. We're donating some to India. So it's not only domestic, it's international. Wherever we can help, you know, when I say it's a plug, this isn't a self-plug, it's a plug to pay the good message forward.
Well, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. Alfred Zaccanino getting signed off here by a Salustio. So we, you know, bringing a little bit of the Italian flavor, Liz, to an episode.
Oh, and don't forget, my husband's name is Silvestri.
You're surrounded You're surrounded by Italians. This has been another amazing episode of the Edup Experience, everybody. Don't forget, please, please, please don't forget to give us a rating and review on Apple. We really appreciate all of our listener support. We're doing everything we can to further the conversation in higher education and beyond, which is bringing why bringing folks on like Alfred is so important, because he's out there doing great work. It's been another episode. Until next time, everyone.
Hey, everybody. We hope you enjoyed that episode of the Edup Experience. To learn more about the Edup Experience, please visit our website at www.edupexperience.com and subscribe to our email list. Please share this podcast, head over to Apple, and please give us a rating and review. We appreciate your feedback. And of course, subscribe to the Edup Experience so you're notified when our episodes drop. Here at the Edup Experience, our goal is to make education your business. Thanks for listening.